Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, may the powerful words of Peter's confession penetrate into our lives and wake us to the incredible reality that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The words have been spoken into human history. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We hear those words, but I ask you, do those words hit you with the same impact those words had hitting the eardrums of the disciples? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do those words hit you with impact? A fisherman by training and trade who left his life by the sea behind to follow a carpenter from Nazareth, walking dusty roads from place to place following that wandering rabbi. There were signs, there were wonders, there were amazing events taking place before your eyes, along with words that were spoken with such authority that they calmed the sea. The lame walked, the blind see. Even the dead are raised. And you, that fisherman by training, you have walked on water at the call of that very carpenter as he was walking on the water. Still to say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that is simply amazing. A carpenter, strong arms, rough hands, muscles from very physical work in the carpenter's shop, still a man. Right? A man. This is a man standing there. And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Will you let those words sink deep inside of you so the true meaning of that can impact your thoughts, transform your hearts, and save your very soul? Yes, that is what's at stake here. The very salvation of your soul. Matthew writes here in a very intentional way. He writes in a way to bring you as the reader or you as the listener right into the action that is taking place. The Greek verbs used here are present tense. Matthew's writing to take you into that moment, take you right into that experience at the same moment. So that experience is happening right here, right now. Taking your imagination to be there, to see it as it takes place. Matthew's writing to transport you to that very spot and experience in real time as Jesus says to them, but who do you say I am? Jesus heard the disciples say what other people were saying about Jesus. Somewhat interesting. But with Jesus, what is important is what his disciples were coming to know. But what do you say that I am? It mattered that his disciples understood. And it matters what you say. You have been with me. You have come to know me. You've heard me teach, learned the lessons while walking along the dusty roads. You've seen so much. So Jesus, saying to his disciples, have seen so much. What do you say? In response to that direct question, Peter answers in a way that really does take one's breath away. For the answer is some of the most amazing words ever spoken. Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Whoa, wait a minute here. Whoa, step back. Do you really comprehend what just took place? Standing there right before Peter is a man, a human being. And Peter declares that man, that human being, to be the Son of the living God. Do you comprehend what has just taken place? That is the Son of the living God. To understand how profound these words of Peter truly are, listen to what Jesus says next in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." In verse 17, what the NIV translated as man is really flesh and blood. It's a few more words than that word man. But in the Greek, the meaning is Peter in his own ability. He does not have that ability to even put two and two together. In his own strength and ability is not what enabled Peter to proclaim what he said. This statement is so much larger than human capability to comprehend. That's why Jesus said, "The Father revealed this truth to Peter." That key word is revealed. The Greek word is apokalepto. I'm going to slow myself down. Apokalupto. Apokalupto. Its meaning is to take the cover off. It's like being at that car show and see that brand new automobile design is about to be revealed. Or it's about being on a plaza where a new statue is about to be unveiled. The car, the statue are before the gathered people, but they're covered, unable to see what's there. You have to wait for the reveal. That is then taking the cover off. The Father in heaven in this moment pulls the cover back and makes known, makes visible, discloses to Peter what was unknown to Peter. The miracles and all the signs and all the wonders, they were not enough. It took a moving of the Father. A moving of the Father is what Peter needed to speak those words. And in the same manner, it is a moving of the Father, God Almighty, in a person's life. What takes to make faith come alive and the ability to confess. It is the moving of God. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they heard these words of Jesus. They all saw the signs and wonders. What was their reaction? And usually it was contention. They spoke against Jesus, they dismissed Jesus, and even in Matthew chapter 12 recounts a time that the Pharisees said that Jesus heals by the prince of demons, Beelzebub, meaning the devil. It takes the moving of the Father for faith to come alive. And the person needs to respond to that moving of the Father. And Father moved Peter, and Peter confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew chapter 16 begins with the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to Jesus to test him by asking for a sign from heaven. In reply, Jesus says, "They can interpret the next day's weather by the color of the sky at night or the color of the sky in the morning, but are unable to interpret the signs of the time." In other words, they can determine the weather, but they can't see what's right in front of them. Always looking for a sign, always looking for a miracle. Never mind all those signs and miracles Jesus has already done. Never enough for the Pharisees or Sadducees or teachers of the law. Would any sign be enough for them? Jesus says, "I'll give you a sign, the sign of Jonah." The sign of Jonah is 3 days in the belly of the whale, meaning 3 days in the belly of the earth for Jesus. The sign will be the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Will the Pharisees and Sadducees even believe that sign? The religious leaders were not given the ability to see as Peter was given to see when the Father revealed who Jesus was. The Pharisees and Sadducees, teachers of the law, in all their study of the Scripture, the religious leaders were unable to interpret the times, for it takes more than knowledge, it takes more than comprehension, it takes faith. And this faith is a gift from the Father. Faith is a work that God works inside a person. The same evidence, the same experiences, and only Peter's the one that says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Think about it. Really think about it and mull it over and chew on it. This confession of Peter, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Before Peter stands a man, by all appearances, a man. And in reality, a man. And to this man, Peter says, "You are the Son of the living God." Before Peter stands the living God. That's what his words mean. That's what he is saying. And that's why it took a revelation of the Father, because that is such a huge thing. Our human abilities can never fully comprehend the complexity of this reality. Standing there in flesh and blood as a human being is the living God. It's mystery. It's beyond our ability to comprehend. Think back. There at the baptism of Jesus, Matthew chapter 3, a voice came from heaven. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Matthew chapter 16, Peter confesses Jesus is the Son of the living God. Matthew chapter 17, the very next chapter, Matthew chapter 17, Peter, James, and John are invited to go up in the mountain with Jesus. And there on the mountain, Jesus is unveiled for a moment, and his glory is shined through. And Moses and Elijah, alive there speaking with Jesus. And from that mountain, Matthew chapter 17, the Father will speak again there. "This is my Son." The mystery, fully human. Human in all the aspects that it means to be human. Also, Son of the living God. In all aspects, living God. Flesh and blood, our human abilities can never comprehend the reality that there in Jesus is the living God and fully human. And so the implication of Peter's confession, the living God, the Lord and maker of all things, of all creation, and the vastness of all there is, is standing there amongst his disciples. You see how this implication does impact the salvation of your soul. If Jesus is not the living God, his death and resurrection means nothing. But because he is the living God, his death and resurrection changes everything. Forgiveness of sin is real. Salvation of your soul really can take place. New life in Christ can be yours by God's grace, because his mercy and compassion is ever present and ready to forgive and redeem. Matthew chapter 16 begins with Jesus teaching about the sign of Jonah, teaching about what was to come. Then, at the close of Matthew chapter 16, Jesus talks more about what is to come, specifically his death and resurrection. So you see what's taking place in Matthew chapter 16. Chapter 16 begins with the sign of Jonah. Then you have Peter's confession. Then from that point on, after the confession of Peter, Jesus is teaching about what is to come, specifically his death and resurrection. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. From that time on, pay attention to what has taken place here in Matthew chapter 16. Peter's confession marked a change in the way Jesus taught things and explained things to his disciples. The Christ, the Messiah, the Jewish people were looking for a warrior to deliver them from Roman rule. And Jesus speaks about suffering and death at the hands of the Jewish leaders. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. And he is going to die. Peter, in his human ability, says, "No, never." And Jesus rebukes Peter for not seeing the work of God that will take place in the death and resurrection, that redeeming through the shedding of the most perfect blood from perfect obedience, that obedience unto death, even death on a cross. So do not pass by some of these most amazing words ever spoken. Words revealed by the Father to Peter, and in turn, through the God-breathed writings of Matthew, these words are revealed to you. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Salvation of your soul is made possible. The living God became man to save us from our sins. And yes, the confession of Peter is a confession for all of us. As Peter asked the disciples, I now bring to you the same question, so you may say some of the most amazing words ever spoken. Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Disciples of Jesus Christ here, how do you answer Jesus?
I'm waiting.
He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Disciples of Jesus Christ here, how do you answer Jesus with me? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you understand the full implication of those words for you and the salvation of your soul? Disciples, who do you say Jesus is together? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now the confession of your lips, that confession of your lips bring new life into your life and new hope into your soul. Because what you just said is life-transforming and life-changing. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. May you have an incredibly blessed week with those lips in your, those words coming from the lips, and a new life, new hope, and new joy. In Jesus' name. Amen.